Breaking news on the Fan, Jaden Daniels named NFC Offensive Player of the Week after that baller performance Monday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. How about this? You ready for some names, B? Jaden Daniels becomes the 12th quarterback in Washington history named NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Okay?
Well, Rob.
You ready for this trip down memory lane?
Let's go.
Okay. You know Robert.
Yep.
Right? Kirk had some baller games. Rippin had some baller games.
Yep.
Fella by the name of Doug Williams had some baller
games.
Brad Johnson, who you played with, had some baller games.
And Brad balled out when he was here.
Gus Frerotte, when he wasn't headbutting things, had some baller games. What you got on Jay Schrader, B?
Yep, before my time.
What about Shane Matthews?
Shane Matthews got it?
Jason Campbell got one.
JC?
JC17 forever. And this one I think is the most surprising. Think about when Shane Matthews was quarterbacking, that was that Spurrier offense. They were throwing 75 times a game. So yeah. I could see one game everything hit. Todd Collins got a got named.
That, but I think wasn't it the game he went in? Because he wasn't supposed to start. He goes in. He played well.
All right. Let's get to the phones. BetQL guest line, Nick Akridge joins us now, from Pro Football Focus. Nick, what up, man? How about those names I just rattled off?
Yeah, that's quite the collection there. A lot of former quarterback jerseys that I have in my old closet.
You got a Todd Collins jersey?
I have a Brad Johnson jersey. I think that was one of my first ones I got.
That's not a bad one, dude. I mean, not to overanalyze something that happened 25 years ago, but Snyder's insistence on running Brad Johnson out of town to let Jeff George get a crack at things really should have been letting us know what direction Jeff, this thing was headed.
Hey, Brad Johnson did go on and win the Super Bowl, though.
I know. All right, Nick. So we are three games into the Jaden Daniels era. Obviously, he changed the script with his performance Monday night. Where are you at as eye test, analytics test?
Yeah, I'm extremely kind of pleased with where we are through 3 weeks. After the first two games, I had a little concern. There was some stuff kind of showing up on film where, he was missing some stuff downfield. But, that's kind of to be expected from a quarterback after two starts. It was some more stuff you would expect a kind of veteran quarterback to hit. But some of the stuff, like, him constantly scrambling, not really looking to throw when he scrambled was a bit of a problem for me. But, Monday night was a complete flip of that. And he kind of answered a lot of questions there with, when he was scrambling to throw. And it saved him from getting hits. It converted some big first downs. And, he's always going to be a threat in the running game. So I think he's further along than where I thought he would be. And that's just incredible for, three starts.
It really is wild. And we just played some Aaron Rodgers audio from his weekly McAfee session. And the thing I've been preaching throughout this process is I really think Daniels is a pocket passer. He beats you from the pocket. And it just so happens to be he can break off an 80-yard run, too.
Yeah.
Rodgers talked about how he won in Cincinnati from the pocket. I think there's more of that to come. I'm curious what your research and analysis shows.
Yeah, no, I mean, at LSU, he was. I mean, obviously, we saw the game-breaking speed at LSU, but he wanted to win within the pocket. And I think his best plays were the deep balls, and that's what he was great at LSU. And you see it sometimes, and it kind of led to some of the high sack numbers that he did want to win within the pocket, maybe a little bit, too much. And there was some stuff kind of on the film that showed that he was maybe kind of missing some things. But again, when you have his kind of game-breaking speed, the kind of mindset that he has right now of still trying to win within the pocket is a good thing to have. I mean, again, trusting yourself within the pocket and not putting yourself in unnecessary situations is a very good thing. I mean, we see it a lot with young quarterbacks that have that kind of speed and out of structure ability that they want to rely on that. And Jaden through three games has not really relied on that as much, especially on Monday night. He was looking to, when it did break down and he did have to get out of the pocket, he was still looking to throw. And that's a huge step forward.
Will that be like you look at him, like you said, in college, he had the unbelievable speed, and he took some sacks because he think he can make the play. Will that be like situational, getting certain games where you know you can get around the edge? Other games you fear you can't, where you sit in the pocket. The other time you may take off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a thing that he's going to have to kind of learn through experience, and we're going to see some. I mean, we saw some sacks, the bad sacks that he took in the first 2 weeks where, you know, he thinks he can get around some stuff and some annoying ones where he doesn't throw it away and loses a couple yards. But it's all kind of a learning experience right now. And in college, obviously, it's a lot easier for him to, you know, break, contain, and you know, force missed tackles in the backfield, downfield. So it's all kind of a learning experience right now. And, you know, the fact that he's not relying on, you know, constantly just kind of putting his head down, looking to run, is a huge sign for me, and one I was not expecting 3 weeks in.
Nick, let me ask you this question. So a lot of times we always say the guy's going to learn. What's the optimal time for a rookie guy to begin to get those things hit? Is it sometime during the first year, or do they have to be in the second, third year where the light bulb kind of goes off?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously different for every single one, and C.J. Stroud last year was obviously the exception where he just kind of hit the ground running right away and looked like the legit guy there. Usually you kind of see it towards the tail end of their rookie season, and then obviously in the second year, if they kind of haven't, if they're in the same offense, if they don't really have it kind of figured out by then, you can kind of tell. But, you know, usually kind of midway towards the end of the season, you can really sort of see things start to click where, you know, they're seeing the same concepts against the same coverage, and whether, you know, they missed that in the first couple of weeks, they're hitting it now. That's kind of the things that I'm looking for, and you usually sort of see it from these young guys kind of middle of the season, later towards the end of the year.
Okay.
Talking with Nick Akridge here for Pro Football Focus. Of course, Pro Football Focus has got you covered all season long with the best data, tools, and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all their famous player grades and premium stats. Plus, if you're looking for fantasy tools, they got you. Award-winning rankings from fantasy expert Nathan Jahnke. Listen, check out PFF Plus. Check out PFF. Obviously, I mean, PFF is part of the national football discourse at this point. Let's ask this, Nick, because I know the analytical community, by and large, wasn't too high on Cliff Kingsbury's offense, kind of, especially going back to the Cardinals days. You know, a lot of offenses these days are kind of predicated on motion. Not a ton of it with Cliff, although I felt like, I haven't charted it yet, but I felt like we saw more against Cincy. What do you think of the way Cliff's calling this thing through three games?
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised. I was someone that was a little bit hesitant on that Cliff Kingsbury hire, just based on, you know, what you kind of mentioned with him in Arizona. But it's not really the same offense. You know, they are running a lot of screens, and I thought through the first six quarters of the season that they were kind of heavily conservative with what they were doing. But things started to really open up, and you could see it on film in week two against the Giants, whether you know, with that was kind of when Jaden started to really hit some stuff downfield. But it was open. And
second
stuff like
half
that
of that
had
Giants
been
game.
Yeah, and stuff like that had been open in, you know, week one. We saw the missed shot to Terry downfield. But in week two, in the beginning of the first half, there were things that you, again, I kind of mentioned earlier on, that you would really want a kind of veteran quarterback to hit, recognize. And it was just kind of a bad faith sort of argument to me that, you know, Cliff is always just going to run these screens and these short passes and whatnot. But I think he's got a really different offense here. I think, you know, the screens are pretty much just a run play. They're not as you know, pretty to watch as a well-executed run play. But it really is just kind of an extension of your running game. Get more guys out on the edge, you get a lighter box, and it's helped Washington's run game, which has been very, very good through 3 weeks, even before Monday night when, you know, kind of things really exploded.
I think look at, like, Kansas City, because Andy Reid ran the same stuff in Philly where he used the passing game, the short passing game, as an extension of his run. But when you look at Cliff back in Arizona, he ran the football a lot.
Yep.
And if he can get the runs established here with Austin and Brian Robinson, I think that takes tons of pressure off of Jaden.
Yeah, and when you have someone like Jaden, like he had with Kyler, it makes things so hard on the defense. I mean, we saw it multiple times when they're going for it on fourth down, and even in short yardage, third down situations where you've got that read option threat, and the defense is, it's just almost impossible to be right on those plays where you have that threat of Brian Robinson and then you've got Jaden keeping it. It just puts the defense in such a tough spot where in these short yardage options, you've got two threats in the backfield. And so even if you've got a loaded box there, it's still hard for that defense to be right and win. And when they are right, they still have to go make the tackle on Jaden Daniels, which we saw is very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
You talk about the screens being an extension of the run game and how well they've ran the ball, and you're correct. I think Jaden's running ability really helps in the run game in that it's 11 on 11 on every run play rather than not having to worry about the quarterback. But Eckler might miss some time here. We don't know, but we know at least as of last night he was still in Virginia while the team's out here in Arizona. What do you make of losing Eckler to this offense? It might just be a game. We're not getting too far down the speculation hole here, but he's been really, really good for them through 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a loss. You know, he's kind of shown to kind of get back to what he was a couple of years ago with the Chargers. And last year he was kind of dealing with some injuries, so he looked not, you know, his same self. And so I think it's going to be a big loss. I mean, the combination with him and Brian Robinson was a great, you know, kind of different pace combination between the two of them. But, I mean, it's time for someone else to step up. I think McNichols played well in the limited snaps he got. We all saw the big pass block on the huge touchdown to Terry at the end there. And that's someone that is now just going to have to step up. And, you know, you're going to deal with injuries throughout the entire year. And I think it is a big loss. And we're going to lose it also in the kick return game. But you know, that just means someone else has to step up now.
Sure. I think, you know, McNichols has already been active. I wonder if they bring up Mike Wiley, who I thought looked pretty good in the preseason. Nick, let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. Statistically, they rank near the bottom. I imagine your grades have them pretty close to the bottom. I get this question a lot, and I don't love answering it because it's not what people want to hear. Where do you stand on how can this group improve? Is there some schematic thing that they can do, or do they need players to get better in a hurry?
It's a mix of both. It's been rough. I mean, there's no denying that. Like you said, the you know, the raw numbers are great. Everything is pointing towards the bottom of the league type of defense. And, you know, specifically in the secondary, it's rough. And you just don't really have the guys right now. But one thing that's kind of given me, you know, some encouragement is they are trying to switch things up. It's not just, you know, we saw in years past that they're just going to try to do the same thing over and over and over again. And if it fails, it fails. We're just going to do it again. They're trying to switch it up. You know, they played a lot more cover two on Monday night, which they were playing a decent amount, but they played almost no cover three. And Dan Quinn loves to run that the cover three, and he'll blitz five guys. They ran almost absolutely none of that. They kind of relied on that cover two stuff. They played a lot of cover two man, which definitely helped the defense. It kept Burrow to kind of dink and dunk his way down the field. But when they did switch to man, Burrow kind of carved them up. So
as soon as he saw Chase in man, he went to him.
Yep. Oh,
like,
yeah.
They tried like hell not to do it, but when they did it, it was immediate. It was on sight.
Yeah, I mean, single high, he was 7 for 7, 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, it was quickly. Just the second he saw that, it was
– give me that one more time.
It was over for the defense. 7 for 7, 105 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Damn.
Yeah.
Ask this question.
They're trying to switch it up. I mean, they're trying. And again, it didn't work, but they are trying to switch it up. They're trying to do things that are putting their players in less vulnerable positions.
How much will a consistent pass rush or a better pass rush help?
It would help massively. And, you know, you're kind of looking at – we all kind of knew that edge rusher was definitely going to take a step back, obviously, from last year with losing Sweat and Young. But you're going to need more from some guys there. It's a rotational unit right now, but no one's really kind of stepped up there. And then, you know, interior, it's been rough for Payne and Allen trying to get pressures. They haven't really been up to what we've seen in the past. And so, yeah, if you have a bad secondary, you can't have a bad pass rush as well. It's just a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's a really well way to frame that, because that, Brian and I, but B, you've been saying this for a while now, that like everybody loves to dunk on the secondary.
Yeah.
But when you're not getting any pressure, what the hell is the secondary supposed to do? But Nick, I like the way you frame that. Like, if one of the two groups is bad, it's bad. But if both are bad, you're in big trouble.
Both are bad. It's atrocious.
Dude, there was a I'm sure you've already charted. I just haven't had time because I've been living in airports for 24 hours. There was a play in the second half against the Bengals where they sent six, and Burrow didn't even have to move off his spot. Like, on some level, you're talking about them switching around coverages, and I think they really – listen, if the three of us donks are – we'll exclude Brian. Nick, if you and I, and we are just donks that are watching tape, right, if we can identify what they should avoid with Ja'Marr Chase, it's not like Dan Quinn and Joe Witt aren't aware of that, right? Like, they know to try to stay out of man coverage on that dude. But still, sometimes just motion and everything dictates it. But if you can't get home sending six – if you can't even really impact the play, you kind of got no shot.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of why they switched things up, because, you know, they were sending five a lot of times in weeks one and week two, and it didn't work. They didn't get home. And then you've got, you know, corners that you don't really trust on islands out there. So they're going to keep switching up. They're going to try to find – clearly they're going to try to find something that works. And I think that that kind of too high stuff where you're just going to have to live with, you know, giving up some longer drives and kind of holding them to field goals in the end. I think that's where you're going to have to live with this defense.
Last one.
Oh boy.
Where are you where are you grading out this O-line? I think they've overperformed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's been a very pleasant surprise. You know, through the first 2 weeks, it probably looked better than it actually was, just because the ball was getting out so quickly. But, last week, it was really, really good. I mean, you know, there are currently, we've got four guys over a 75 pass blocking grade, which doesn't typically happen with Washington O-lines in the past. But right now, it's looked really, really good. And I think they've done a really good job kind of patching up that you know, the left guard and center spot, which I thought was the real, real problems last year. And Allegretti's come in terms of pass blocking, he's been you know, nearly perfect. We've charted him with just one pressure given up. So right now it's looking really good there.
How has the young buck been blocking based off the numbers? Coleman.
Yeah, so Coleman's been a bit up and down. Like, they're really rotating him and Cornelius Lucas in right now. So I'm never a huge fan of doing that. I think guys are better when they kind of get a rhythm and are playing, you know, consistently. So his grade right now, pass block, 55.6, which is just a little bit below average, but you know, that's kind of to be expected when you're not in as much. And if you're going to lose on one or two reps, it's just going to bring the grade down naturally. But I think he's shown some signs there that, you know, you can kind of keep going with him in the future. But I think Cornelius Lucas has also played really well. So they're kind of in a spot where they don't really want to, you know, take snaps away from Lucas, who I think has been playing a pretty good job and kind of giving it to Coleman. But I think they're going to keep kind of rotating them in. And I liked what I've seen so far from Coleman. I would just obviously like to see more snaps.
Are they in a position where they don't have to rush Coleman because Lucas is playing so well?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, there was talk about Coleman played a lot of guard at TCU as well his last year, so there were thoughts maybe he could play left guard, but they clearly like him as a left tackle. But with Lucas playing well and with this offense playing well, I understand why they don't really want to switch that up.
Biotis has made a huge impact too. But, Nick, we got to run, man. This has been fun.
Appreciate
we'll have to
you,
do
Nick.
It again.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Hi, man.
Nick Ackridge. Give him a follow at PFF underscore Nick Ackridge. Landfill, I'm doing it. I don't care what you say. Phone lines open, 800-636-1067. What was your favorite thing from Washington's win Monday night? All right, B. I don't know that I've asked you this question. I'll start with the four of us, and then if folks called, we'll take the calls. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Simple question. That's one of the biggest wins this organization has had in a long time.
Uh-huh.
The last big win like that was probably 2022 when they went to Philly and beat them on Monday night. The last big win that mattered was probably that Steelers game on like Monday afternoon in the COVID season when they were undefeated. But this one feels different because it's a rookie quarterback, and it's a quarterback that you're like, whoa, wait a second, maybe we got something here. And there were wins like that in the Kirk era and the Robert era, certainly. But those eras were a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk's on his third team, and Robert's a television commentator. Like, those wins were a long time ago. So, B, my simple question, what was your favorite part about the win Monday night?
Watching Jaden and offense work, and they never got phased. I think when going into that week, I felt a little confident, but everyone felt like if it becomes a shootout, that, you know, would we be able to keep up? But I forgot somebody we had on the air said, if it is a shootout, that's the only way we'll beat them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we ended up having a shootout in a sense, and we ended up beating them. But just to watch a young quarterback like Jaden guiding that offense, and he never got rattled.
Totally.
Because something that could take us a long ways. So I was just stuck with that, the mindset that he exuded and his whole offense, because you could see him talking to the players, and everybody was following his lead. So that's why. That's what I like.
I tend to agree with you, B. And specific to the shootout stuff, there's an old saying, the offense good enough to keep them in every week, and the defense good enough to keep the other guys in it every week.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what they used to say about Sonny's teams in the late 60s and early 70s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you sure as hell hope that's not the track that this thing is on, but at least in Cincinnati it was. Let's hit a phone line. Dan is in Fairfax. What'd you love about the win Monday night?
Hey, guys. It's great to talk to you again. I love the fact that Terry McLaurin proved all the naysayers wrong. He had probably maybe one of his best games ever. That last catch for a touchdown was amazing. And I'm just really happy for him because a lot of people were writing him off. But I think we know Jaden Daniels is a beast. We're tied for first in the NFC East. Terry McLaurin had the best game of his career. He is awesome. So let's be clear. I understand that it's a long season, but we'll be in the hunt, and this is the reason. Good ownership, great coaches, and players. So hail to the Commanders, left hand in the air.
Great call, Dan. Thank you, buddy. I love the poems and the songs. My man's got passion, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Landini, what was your favorite part of that win?
That would be the Trent Scott touchdown. I love
Manfield Chan for the big dude.
Yeah, I love big man touchdowns when they happen, and it never happens to our team, and it finally did. It was awesome.
I haven't got to tell the story yet. I'm in the Cincinnati airport for seemingly the whole afternoon, and I'm waiting for a grilled cheese from this place called Frisch's. It's like a Cincinnati chain. It's pretty good grilled cheese, Landfill. And there's a dude I notice wearing a Trent Scott jersey. 73 Commanders, and he's a bigger fella, and I look at this dude, and immediately I'm like, that's got to be, it's got to be a Trent Scott relative in some capacity, you know? And I went over and introduced myself to him. Really, really nice man from Huntsville, Alabama, I believe he said. He said it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing to get to see his son do that, you know, 7 years in the NFL, and then to have an opportunity like that. That really was cool, Landfill, and I love it for Jaden. I love it for Cliff calling that. I love it for Trent Scott, obviously. But, B, you were in there. When a big guy gets a touchdown, it's kind of like all of them got a touchdown. Yeah. Like, they were all kind of celebrating it.
Yep. And because, I mean, you work on it. Like, I heard John talking to the Junks. John said he never saw him work on it in practice. Because, you know, they split up defense, offense a lot of times. So it's a good thing when they probably saw that, they're like, oh, man, if you ask anybody else, they won't get involved. They'll want to get involved now.
Right. Totally.
But getting the big guy that type of opportunity, you don't have to ask him to work hard no more. He's ready to go now.
Oh, totally. People are going to be – the O-lineman is all fired up about that one. And, dude, I like it just from a – to Landfill's point, like, none of that cool stuff ever happens here. And that was cool and fun.
Now, we just signed to the swinging gate two times in a row.
Our guy Bones is calling from Southeast. Bones, what was your favorite part of that win the other night?
You up, Bones?
Hey, what's up, B-Mick? Shout out to my main man, JP Finley, and the whole 106.7 fan crew. What I like about the game was the innovation, man, of the offense, man. How, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and the rest of the coaching staff got that out offense, man, to generate, man, and put them points on the board, man. You understand? And scored on all they drives. I like about the offensive line, especially the tackles, you know. There were no holding penalties on that offensive line, man. Not one. You know, and I like the fact, man, that Tress Wade had two games off, you know what I mean? He's been on vacation for two games, you know. And, man, I like the fact how Jaden Daniels, man, took leadership control, you understand, in the huddle and getting the players in position and stuff. And it didn't look like there was near panic mode in his bone. Man, look, the defense, B-Mitch, you remember back in the day when we had that bend but don't break defense? That's what we got right now, a bend but don't break defense. I believe as the season goes on, the defense is going to get better. I love you guys. Thanks for taking my call and allowing me to speak.
Peace. All right, bro. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Bones.
You know, I hear that bend but don't break type thing, but, you know, if you keep bending something, I don't care what it is, it ends up breaking. Yep. So we need to just get better and stop bending.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yep.
This is a quick question.
All right.
They gave up 430 yards of offense and 33 points. Is that bending and not breaking? That's just breaking.
It's bending. It's not breaking because you scored 38.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, they got the win, and that's great, but let's not try to give it a name.
What if you don't score 38?
Right. Right, exactly. That's kind of my point. You gave up 436 and 33. I don't know the name. To almost quote the wolf from Pulp Fiction, let's not start bleeping bleep bleep already. I do love our guy Bones. I want to credit him here, Brian. Mm-hmm. In life, in the NFL, in sports, dating, whatever, you got to be ready when your number's called, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to turn it on quick. Our guy Bones, we went to him. He had no idea he was on the radio. It seemed like he was like talking to somebody else. And then you told him, Bones, you're up. And bang, he was ready to rock.
And he rocked out a lot of stuff, too.
It was a good call.
Bones, my dude, man.
We just had to step back in.
I've seen Bones before.
Mama Stu is on the line. Mama, what was your favorite part of that win the other night?
Fellas. Oh, my God. Listen, I was so pumped after the game. I couldn't sleep. I was hurting at work the next day. Oh, my goodness. What I loved was the play calling and them being aggressive. Like, they was like, look, we're not leaving out of here without a win. And I loved it for Terry. Oh, my God. All these people talking about trading him. He ain't got him. I'm like, they tripping.
Jeff.
Absolutely love that. As far as the defense, man, listen, they need some time and they need some – I just think they need some more time. I don't know how much better it's going to get, but my outlook on this season is, do we have our quarterback and are we competitive? And we surely are competitive. So that's what was my take, guys. I loved it. Let's go.
All right.
Y'all have a good show.
When you see Jeff smack him because he was talking about trading Terry.
Yeah, that was only right. Last week. Thank you, Mama.
Let's dead this right here.
No, Jeff. We got to go to break. Landfill's going to flip out. You can try to defend yourself.
No, go to break. Jeff,
go to break. Go to break. When we return.
We'll be back.
Don't know why. Great song. Great band. Great pull, Landfill. I thought this was hysterical, so I'm just going to read this tweet. Toronto media is already in mid-season form, asking Craig Berube if it's time to panic after two preseason losses for the Maple Leafs. I think you got to chill, Maple Leafs fans. Brian, a couple of interesting things here.
What do you say?
You know our guy Lincoln from the brewery?
Yep.
Lincoln was texting me today, and we're talking about favorite things from Monday night's win. And Lincoln said, one thing that stands out is there's so much to be excited about on the field But to Lincoln, he said it's Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. The excitement he brings, and it is very evident that the players have bought in. We have not seen that excitement out of the head coach on the sideline in years. He wanted Quinn from the day Ron was fired because of his enthusiasm. I couldn't help but think about Bickle on the Junks would always go nuts because it drove him crazy. Ron would just stand there and fold his arms on the sideline. Whether you think DQ is the guy or not, he is undeniably a ball of energy, and it's evident. I mean, the fact that when Terry hit that deep shot, DQ picked him up on the sideline, you know what I mean? Like, those are authentic moments.
100%. And I think the thing of it is when people try to get coaches and things like that, they look for sometimes exuberance that might be false.
Yeah,
dude. You got to find people that could be leaders. And I've told the story several times. I told it again the other night. When I talked with Adam Peters at the Super Bowl in Vegas, and I said, man, y'all getting a lot of coaches. And he was like, every one of them have come because of Dan. He said, we didn't have to reach out to these guys. They wanted to coach under him. That tells you a lot about who he is.
The person matters.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think it was easy, honestly, I think some Commanders fans were fairly cynical of that going into this hiring process because a lot of the stuff we got told about Ron kind of sounded similar to DQ, but the energy around those guys is just clearly very different. And I'm not trying to knock or drag Ron at all, but Ron was really that CEO type, wanted to kind of just run the whole operation, and DQ is more of a down in the mud, like nitty gritty operational stuff.
But you look at when you watch them, right? Some coaches try to play that calm role, but they're not necessarily calm. And other coaches are not necessarily calm, but they're calm when they're in certain situations. Dan is not a calm dude. Dan is a fiery dude. But when you watch him in his situations, he always seems to be under control, just like who? It's QB, right?
Yep.
And that's what I like about him because he is going to tell you what he's going to give you a truthful answer more than most coaches that come through here. But when they're in situations, he seems to be under control more than anybody else that have come through here for the most part.
Sure. I mean, I think Jaden's calm, Jaden's sense of calm is really, really remarkable, especially for a young guy like that. It's just who he is. He has been – we've been dealing with Jaden now for 6 months, something like that. He has been the same dude every day. Like, even his – you just got drafted number two overall.
Yeah.
And we're doing a press conference. It's okay if you're excited and, like, fired up and do something. He was chill. He has been the same dude throughout. And that is really remarkable. And I started to say this earlier. I think my mind ran away from me. Shocker. I don't expect any of that to change.
That's who he is.
Yeah. Like, it's just at some point, it's who you are.
Jay, it's like this. Okay. I've had people ask me, yo, man, when y'all get on the radio, do y'all, like, find stuff to try and, like, you know, say things that you know is going to make people get riled up? I say, no, I'll say the truth about what I believe in. They say, well, what do you mean? I say, because I can remember the stuff I truly believe in. I just because I'm who I am. If I make up something, I might not remember that crap. You know what I mean? So yeah. Jaden has been who he is. It's easy to be you when you try to put on a act for someone is where you lose out at, where you mess up at.
Much easier to be yourself than to try to be somebody else.
Hell
you got to
yeah.
keep track of all that stuff. And honestly, we've seen quarterbacks not comfortable in their own skin, whether it was their own creation or the way the organization treated them or lots of weird things have happened in this town. This doesn't seem like it. This really this seems different. You don't want to get too excited.
We have another Google Doc.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Guys that wanted to trade Terry List.
That's you're insane.
You're saying this on the air? I was only saying that between the four of us.
That's insane. Y'all started that at 12:52. Now.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on.
I hate y'all.
Breaking news on the Fan. Since B brought it up, I wasn't going to bring it up, but we'd like to keep track of things with Google Docs because Brian and I are often on the move. All of our football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Also, the Jaden Daniels shirt is now in the 106.7 The Fan merch store. It is dope. You got to make sure you check it out, 1067thefanshop.com. And don't you dare forget, B. Mitchell Finley is brought to you by Rude HVAC Equipment. Check them out, rude.com. Find a contractor near you. And Brian?
What up? If it ain't rude, it ain't right. And we'll be back.